forgotten about the accent thing. I don't pick up on it as much, so y'all may tell me afterwards, you know, Gretchen was right, but I don't pick up on it. I certainly don't go around listening to myself, so I do remember having those arguments, though, when you mentioned that, but you'll have to just get used to it, because that's just the way that I talk. So it is such a pleasure to be here. It really is. I couldn't help but seeing everyone last night, I was like, oh, they need to get someone else to teach, because I just want to go around and visit. I don't want to have to sit here and concentrate, but I really do. I do. Y'all know me well enough to know that I do enjoy teaching the ladies when I am giving the opportunity to do so. I can't help but think back to Brother Brumback's initial call to the house, and I answered the phone that day, and with three small children in the home, you can't always have an adult conversation without a few interruptions. But anyway, he called, and I had just hung up with Barry from the office, and we exchanged pleasantries, and I said, well, you know, Barry's still at the office. You can reach him there. And he said, well, I'm not calling to talk to Barry. And I was like, really? And I said, okay. And so I let him proceed. And then when he invited me to come speak, I was, believe it or not, I was speechless. I just did not know what to say. So it is quite an honor to be here today. And then I thought this morning, as I was getting up and getting ready, I thought, oh, my children, they are so good to be a distraction to me, to keep me from getting nervous before I speak, because I'm always busy getting them to wherever they had to go and so on and so forth. But this morning, Barry says, Veda was still asleep. That's my 18-month-old. Kaysen and Miranda were making themselves at home. But Veda was still asleep, and after the long drive, I knew she needed it. And Barry said, well, I'll stay here with the kids, and you just go and concentrate on your lesson and deliver it. And so I've been nervous for quite a while now because I haven't had the kids around. So I'm trying to get over it and get comfortable. Someone said something about the air conditioner in here, and it's just fine to me. It doesn't bother me. In fact, now that we've had kids, instead of my hands getting hot and sweaty, they get cold and clammy now when I get nervous. So just give me a minute, and I'll get going here in a second. But my topic for today is authentic Christianity and its purpose for today. I was speaking to Sister Altizer just a minute ago, and she had made mention of the manuscript in the book. And I tease the ladies at Forest Hill. There's one lady in particular. She brings her little book in every year, her lectureship book, and she's like, am I going to be able to follow you this year? And I'm like, Miss Helen, you've never had a problem following me in my book, because I don't sidetrack from my manuscript very much at all. And that's because I've got three kids at home. I do good to get a manuscript in, and I do try to keep with it, because I enjoy being able to follow along. So you will not, I don't believe you'll have any problem following along in the lectureship book with me. Back in 1998, what we term as BC, before we had children, Barry and I were contemplating, we were living in Alabama at the time, and we were contemplating having children. And so he said, why don't we take a trip to Atlanta? We are Braves fans, and I enjoy a good baseball game. So I said, let's go to Atlanta, and we'll have a fun little outing before we start thinking about having kids. And I said, well, that sounded good. So he took me to the Braves game, and little did I know, I was with child at the Braves game. I told him later, I wondered why I kept wanting so many hot dogs. I kept eating hot dogs, and I was so hungry. But I found out why, because I was, instead of with child, I was with Kaysen. So but while we were in Atlanta, he took me to the world of Coca-Cola. And if you've ever been there, it is fascinating to go there. It's very interesting. When you walk in, they have the machine that pours the Coke in the bottles, and it puts the caps on it, and it's just the whole production line, and it's neat to watch. We look forward to taking our children back there one day. But you walk all through there, and you see the history that's behind Coke and that name and the product. Then you can walk on through the museum, or whatever you want to call it, and there is a room where you can taste all the different kinds of Coke from all over the world. Barry had been there before with a cousin of his, and he told me, he's like, "Oh, Celicia," he said, "you've got to taste this this one from Italy. It's called Beverly. They call it Beverly. You've got to taste it." And so I was like, okay, trusting my loving husband. And I tasted it. It was the nastiest stuff I had ever put in my mouth. It was so very bitter. I don't know if it's the wine concept or what, but it was just disgusting. And so now we play that nice little joke on other people when they're going there. We're like, make sure you try Beverly. You've got to try Beverly. But it was as my little one says, it was gross. It was really gross. But anyway, we moved on from that building, or from that room. I did drink a lot of Diet Coke to try to get that taste out of my mouth. But anyway, we moved on, and there's another room. And in this room, it shows all the slogans, past slogans from Coca-Cola, and it shows all the old Coke commercials. And that can age you if you sit there and look at those. But you can remember those. But I say all that leading up to my lesson. But several years ago, the Coca-Cola company made a new formula, and they tried it out on us, the consumer. And if you remember it, and if you tasted it, you'll recall that it did not go over very well. And they quickly pulled it off the shelves, and they put back the original formula. And then they came up with this slogan, that it's the real thing. Well, I believe that the same concept applies to the gospel plan of salvation. However, thankfully, the gospel does not change. No one's going to pull it off the shelf. Man may try, but no one can pull it off the shelf and replace it with another version, though, as I just said, in the denominational world, people do that. When Barry and I were dating, I worked at Carrier Air Conditioning, and I can remember on our dates, we would be driving wherever we were going, and we would start talking about whatever we had done that day. And for a while there, it was always like I was going to a class to be updated on some material or some computer program or something like that, and had to learn all this stuff. And my brain could absorb that at the time, but it can't now. And I remember telling Barry, I said, you know, you are so fortunate that your material never changes. You know, as long as you stay a gospel preacher, you don't have to worry about learning something new. True, you can learn new ways to present it, add different ways of developing your sermons, but the truth is always going to be the same, and you don't ever have to worry about replacing what you know with something new. Well, when it comes to our eternal life, we must return to that which is real and authentic, which is the inspired Word of God. Webster defines authentic as having an undisputed origin, as genuine, reliable, or trustworthy. I think we can all relate to authentic possessions, one, because we're women, and two, just because we all have something that we really like. There's no doubt that in an audience this size, you collect something. How many of y'all do have one thing that you really spend a lot of time collecting? I know what yours is. Okay. All right. Well, some of y'all may enjoy collecting art or gems, stones, you know, antiques or automobiles, or you may like to collect famous memorabilia of different actors or actresses that you like. But regardless of what your special interest is, when you are looking for that specific item to add to your collection, you're going to go to quite an extreme to make sure you find it. And when you find it, you're going to look over it with a fine-tooth comb, and you're going to make sure that it is genuine and that you are completely satisfied. And even more, you're probably going to pay quite a bit of money if it's a genuine product. If you are a devoted consumer, you're going to make sure you fork out just a little bit of money, and you can tell the difference between something that's genuine and something that's an imitation. So I want to talk now about how that relates to our spiritual life. There's no doubt that today, as Sister Stewart said in her prayer, that the world is in desperate need of authentic Christianity. Sin's the root of man's problem in today's society, no doubt about it. In 2 Timothy, if y'all will turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, we read this. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. The world in which we live no longer blushes at sin, as we read about in Jeremiah 6 and verse 33. And most people refuse to accept any standard to follow. They want to do it all their way. These same people do not want to be under anybody's authority, because frankly, ladies, we live in a very self-centered world. People have got to realize their need to have Christ in their lives. They must want Him to be a part of their daily walk. People of the world need to learn, they need to accept, and then they need to subject themselves to God's Word. Once a person discovers, establishes, and nourishes, and I think nourishes is a key word, nourishes a relationship with God, their lives will be enriched, and the world will profit by the life of an authentic New Testament Christian. I want us to look at three benefits of authentic Christianity. The first point is that authentic Christianity can relieve us of our past sins. I think we all understand the concept of debt. Y'all may have heard of Dave Ramsey. He has authored the book Total Money Makeover. It's on financial fitness. But he's real popular in our area right now, going around doing seminars to people, to congregations. But anyway, in his book, they have these statistics. He says that 90% of people in our culture buy things that they cannot afford. 80% of college graduates have credit card debt before they even have a job. And 60% do not pay credit cards off at the end of each month. So the concept of debt is definitely a part of our world. One realizes that you can be freed from your financial debt that hangs over your head by simply repaying the amount that is owed. But unlike financial debt, the debt that we owe Christ for hanging on the cross and dying for our sins can never be repaid. The closest we can come to repaying Him is giving our whole life to Him. That is all He asks, because, you know, in Mark 8 and verse 34, He tells us to deny ourselves and to pick up our cross and to follow Him. And as we just sang a moment ago, the songwriter penned, "But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do." Another song that came to my mind was that He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt that I could never pay. Well, once a person realizes what Christ did for him or for her as an individual, they should want to do, as my little children sing, they want to hear the word. Why does that little song go? Kason sings it all the time. I hear the word, believe the word, repent of all my sins, confess the Christ, and be baptized, and live my life for God. That's what we should want to do, because when one submits his life to Christ, we do as we just said. We repent of our sins. We confess Christ as the Son of God. And then we're baptized for the remission of our sins, Romans 10:10. And through His blood, we are forgiven of those sins, and our lives will begin anew. Have you ever stopped to think about the true meaning of forgiveness? Christ tells us that as long as we confess our sins, He's going to forgive us of our sins. 1 John 1 and verse 9. God remembers them no more, and we're no longer charged with those wrongdoings. He rescues us from sin when we will just submit to His will. He delivers us from the slavery of sin. No, we will not be sinless people, but we will sin less. And to a New Testament Christian, I think that's one of the many spiritual blessings that we are able to enjoy, and we should never take it for granted. Second point, authentic Christianity, it can reassure us in this present world. I take such comfort in the peace that I have in my life that I owe to God. And if you sit there and think about it for a while, you see tragedy strike people, and you wonder, how do they handle life when they have no one to lean on. Their lives must be very chaotic and very hopeless. But to the true New Testament Christian, when you seriously contemplate the effect that Christ has had on your life, you can sing that without Him you would be nothing, and without Him how lost you would be. As Christians, we always need to turn to God in the good and the bad times. You know, so often we seek God's help or His word, or we begin praying when we enter a crisis or a difficult time. God should never be on standby mode in our lives. We are supposed to be in constant communication with our Father. I thought about the point that was made, that how could you, if you treated God, I can't even remember where I was, where I heard it, but anyway, how would you feel if you treated God, and a lot of people do this, as we are married to our spouses, if you never talk to your spouse. You never talk to your spouse. And that's how so many people do our Heavenly Father. They don't ever talk to Him except for when they're in need. Well, I cannot imagine that. Because I talk to my husband all the time. I cannot imagine that. But anyway, sometimes tragedy will strike a family or a community, maybe by a storm or some other natural force. And that family may lose everything that they have, all of the material possessions. And the only reassurance they have of picking up and starting over financially is going to be an insurance policy that they've taken out on all of their property. Well, I think the same applies to the Christians. We can endure this world and all that Satan hurls at us because of the blessed assurance that we have in Christ. In Hebrews 6:11, we read, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." So instead of being covered by some insurance policy that ties us to this materialistic world, we need to be eternally covered by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Authentic Christianity is also able to reward us with the goal of heaven in the future. Everyone in here has a goal. We probably have several. Some are attainable and some are not. But all of us have the same goal of heaven, and that is obtainable. And as the hymn states, it makes life worth the living. I can't help but add a little side note here. I've mentioned several songs, and I appreciate Rebecca leading us in the song earlier. And she was so kind to ask if I had any relating to my lesson this morning. And you know, when you get put on the spot, you just go blank. And I knew the words of the song that we were singing, and I'm like, okay, but it wasn't the title. So I could not get that song in my head to figure out what song I was referring to. But I really enjoy singing. If any of y'all know Miss Veda Rice, you know Brother Ira, who passed away 3 years ago. And we were very close to Brother Ira. We listened to their CD on the way here, and we just missed him so much. But we love Miss Veda, and we love Miss Veda so much that that is for whom we named our daughter Veda after. And now, instead of Little Veda and Big Veda, which Miss Veda says she didn't like being called Big Veda because she's not big, she's so little, and I get confused. My Veda calls her Mimi now. I guess she couldn't make that connection, so she just gave her own personal name. So she calls her Mimi now. But anyway, in our ladies' class back home, we have been studying a book called Singing with the Understanding. And it takes songs and I think there's like 25 songs in it, and it dissects the song so you can learn more about what you're singing. And it's wonderful because the author suggests that you sing the song before class, then you study the song, and then you sing the song at the end of class. It's in a workbook form. And it has been so helpful, and it makes you so much more aware of what you're singing in the worship service. And so I have to just say that because my children, we all enjoy singing, and singing is such a wonderful blessing to the Christian. And so I know I've mentioned a lot of verses from songs, and that's why. So let me move on. Paul writes to us in Philippians 3 and verse 14 that I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is so reassuring for us as Christians to know that we're going to be rewarded for the life that we live here on earth as long as we live it in accordance to God's will. Revelation 2 and verse 10, the last part of that says, "To be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." And how true that is. And we need to hold on to that, because the promise of heaven is ours, as I said, if we live in accordance to His will. When one reads of heaven in the New Testament, how can you not want to go there? How can you not be spending your precious time here on earth to reserve your place in heaven? You know, many of us in here probably are parents, and we all, I think, use the concept of reward to persuade our children to accomplish a task or maybe to behave in a certain way. Well, consider the punishment associated with hell. Do you not think that would motivate somebody to live their life right, to convince them to change and to turn to God and turn away from Satan? But we have the better situation because we have the reward of heaven ever before us. In John 14, this is my favorite passage. I think it's my favorite for lots of reasons, but most importantly, I do remember that this was the first one that I memorized. Now, you're going to say, well, I'm going to see if she can memorize it. But that's been a long time ago, and I'm nervous. So, Christ tells us to let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. So we observe from this passage that a place is offered. I go to prepare a place for you. He tells us He has a place for us. God does not lie. So we can rest assured that there will be a place. We go to this place by invitation from Him. So that means you've got to accept it. How many times have you gotten an invitation in the mail asking you to come to dinner or to come to a party or something at someone's house? Usually there's an RSVP on there that you need to call and let them know you're coming. Well, have you RSVP'd to our Father to let Him know you're coming? Are you showing Him by the life that you're living to let Him know that, yes, you're coming? You're coming to be there, because you have to enter on His terms, and His terms are laid out for us in His Word. We know that this is obtainable. As we mentioned a little while ago, some goals that we set, we may never reach them. It's usually those goals that deal with weight and all that stuff that we don't need to talk about right now, because some of y'all know where I went last night, because my favorite place is Culver's. And I'm so proud of Gretchen. Let me just stop, right? Let me mark my place. Because she did not mention that. I love Culver's. And that was one, besides seeing all of y'all, that was one reason I wanted to come back to Austin, was to go to Culver's. And she had opportunity to use that, I guess, against me, but she was so sweet and didn't. And she didn't mention that she was there with me either. But anyway, so, okay, got to get my focus back now. I can't do that very well. But anyway, most of the goals we do not reach. But we do know that the Christian woman can reach the reward of heaven if we live our lives right. Let's read 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 11. I think we need to post this all over our home and go over it often. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, They make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Okay, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So heaven is assured that it will be ours if we live the right life. From the scripture that we read in John 14 and numerous others in the book of Revelation, we're told that heaven is outstanding. I don't know about y'all, but I don't live in a mansion. I wouldn't want to clean it, for one thing, but I don't live in a mansion. I look forward to having my mansion. You know, you often hear people say, oh, I just want to get to heaven and I just need a little shack. I want the mansion when I get to heaven. So I want to make sure I do everything that I can to get there. The beauty of heaven is just indescribable. And we don't have time right now to read it. But when you read the language that is used in the book of Revelation chapter 21, I suggest that you go back sometime and try to study that. They're using words that we know. Our minds can grasp the description of streets of gold, the city of pure gold, and the walls of jasper. Heaven is a glorious place. And part of its beauty is going to be its holiness, because sin will never enter therein, as we have it recorded for us in Revelation 21 and verse 27. You know, as a teenager in my home congregation in Collierville, where I did grow up, as Gretchen mentioned, and we do usually just mention, we just usually say we're from Memphis because nobody knows where Collierville is. But anyway, I can recall being there, and it's only happened once, and that's why it stands out in my mind. I can recall going to Bible study one Wednesday night, and one of the elders, he was a very dear friend of mine. He and my father served as elders there at that time. He said, tonight we're going to just get the Bible out, and we're going to just read during Bible study tonight. And, you know, I sat there and I thought for a minute. I thought, what a concept. Imagine that, just sitting there. And I think it's a long passage, but I think sometimes we forget the simplicity of the Scriptures. I think that a lot of learning can come just from reading the Word of God. So, having said that, I think a great summary passage for us is found in Colossians. Paul profiles a citizen here who is destined to occupy eternity with God. And once a person makes a break from sin and Satan through baptism to walk the straight and narrow way, he can draw great comfort from this passage. So in Colossians 3, let's begin reading there, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And move on down a little bit. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived within them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And skip the next verse. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have any quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Ladies, this is what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That is the true Christian life. I think the vital spring of a practical Christian life is a very, very personal union with Christ. And that true union with Christ, it lifts our aims high above this world to where there's nothing in this world that should keep us from Christ. I think this lengthy passage that we have just read, it reinforces the explanation of authentic Christianity and how we're supposed to live a life that's pleasing to our Heavenly Father. I like this point made by one commentator who said, "Those who have the peace of Christ in their hearts have that which presides over and governs the mind and life, making all of it orderly, proper, and right. How tragic it is that so many in the world do not avail themselves of the many rich blessings authentic Christianity has for us today." While authentic Christianity can truly relieve us of our past sins, it can reassure us in this very sinful world. And thankfully, it will reward us with heaven if we choose to submit to His will. So may I challenge you, ladies, that you do all that you can in sharing the joy that's in your heart, the Christianity that you have in your life. Do what you can to share that with others and bring other people who are lost to Christ before it's everlastingly too late. I thank y'all so much for your kind attention, and I look forward to spending some more time with y'all while we're here. Thank you.
We'll close with a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful of the word that you have given us, that we can find the paths that we should follow, and that we know that we can reach heaven by just following your word. We don't need to embellish it and add to it and take away from it. You've made it very simple and plain for us. We're so thankful for Sister Grider and the message that she gave, and for the time that we can devote to study and learning more about your word. We're thankful for this congregation here that sets aside the time for the lectureship that we can learn and grow. And Father, we grow so much when we have your word and we spend devoted time like this in study of it. We pray for all of those that have traveled so far and many distances to come here. We pray that they'll have safe journeys back home and that they'll gain so very much from time in study with you, with your Bible. We pray that you be with us as we go out into the world and that we can share what your message is to those who are seeking you, and that the gospel will go into many areas and the kingdom will grow as people accept you. We ask you to forgive us when we fall short and that you will always be there for us. We know you are, and we're so thankful for Christ who died for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.